if you are looking to do something in the time TI is down in the evening here in South Africa, you have something you need to do to fill the void of waiting for the next day of TI to start, look no further than Esports Central Podcast. This is episode number 56, recorded for the 22nd of August 2019, and as I said, it's TI month. This might be a TI special. Glenn's not here to talk about shitty League of Legends, but I am joined by Gutter Lily and, of course, Prophecy. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm emotionally exhausted.
Oh, I mean, I'm not emotionally exhausted, but it has been a day.
Are you going to survive us talking about Dota for like the entire podcast, Gutter Lily?
Oh, dear God. Like, listen, I've already banked on the fact that I'll probably take a nap early on in the night, possibly during that part of the podcast. But I'm sure everybody else will be really interested in whatever.
All right. Although I would like to talk about Dota for the whole podcast, we will talk about other things. Sadly, you know, you have to do what you have to do. Prophecy, how are you doing today, sir?
I mean, it's been a day, I guess. Can't really complain too much about it.
All right. All right.
We're having some lit shit on Twitter, and my boy Big Dick Lan just wrecking fools at TI.
Man, it has been crazy. And the fact is that RNG, I don't think would have... Okay, let's
I feel like you're just
that.
Going into this and I'm not prepared.
All right. In honor of Gutter Lily, we will talk about other things that's not Dota. Because this is the Esports Central Podcast. We talk about all things around esports internationally, South African esports. And then we usually dick about Marvel movies as well, because Glenn gets mad triggered. But he's not here today, so I can't make fun of the new Spider-Man movie when he's not here.
I still have to watch it. I realize.
I feel like Shock. You might enjoy it, Gutter Lily. Prophecy, have you seen it?
The new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Far From Home or Close to Home or whatever it's called.
No.
Got Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's got Jake Gyllenhaal, which is like the only reason I'd even bother to like care about that movie.
All right, not fans like, of the MCU, yeah.
No, the problem is like I used to be a fan of the MCU when like the movies were different. Like the Captain America movies, I think, are fantastic. The Thor movies were bad and then got worse, and the Iron Man movies were great and then got terrible.
What?
I don't even, I don't even know what to say, like, what?
Since then, it's basically just been the same story with, like, vague changes here and there.
But that's comics for you. I don't know. The only thing I didn't really enjoy was Ant-Man. I found it a bit boring. But maybe it's just because it is such a different type of superhero. But everything else was fine. I loved Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Like, it's not they were bad movies. Like, I think the only legitimately bad movie was probably the second Thor movie.
Oh, good God. The hair.
The second Thor wasn't that bad.
It was terrible, dude.
And the cinematics and shit were really nice in it, though.
Yeah, and can you tell me anything about the bad guy?
I don't remember the plot.
Exactly. That's my guy.
Was Loki.
What's the bad guy in the second Thor movie?
Dark Elf. No, just
wasn't
the Dark Elf dude. No, just the Dark Elf dude that, like, rocks up and then, like, is meant to, like... extract the ether from Natalie Portman.
Why do I think that was the first movie? Obviously, okay, clearly it was bad because I can't remember it.
First one was when Loki is the brother of the... Okay, but let's talk about this, right? Besides the point.
Just put this in like fast forward so that people can just be like, okay, at the end.
All right. So before we get into the episode, we do have a poll this week. The poll... this week is a spicy one, but not too spicy because we all have an equal say in this. It's what is the greatest event in esports? You have the Dota 2 TI as one of your options, the League of Legends Worlds, and Overwatch League Finals. And of course, in Counter-Strike, the Cathedral of Counter-Strike, ESL 1 Cologne, or the Major, but the Major is different every year. So I'm going to stick with ESL 1 Cologne for Counter-Strike. Is that fine, Prophecy?
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
All right. And then for those of you who say, why is there only four options? No, Fortnite's not an esports, so it's not included. Bam! I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. Kids are going to fight you.
Well, I mean, let's be real. When the company that makes your game says, we add things to the game so that the shitter's going to win, I mean, what does that point? What does that mean for competitive integrity at that point?
And also, what, like,
are we talking about the mechs now? Because I understand that's still in.
Did you see? No, they announced why they put the mech in and why they're not going to be removing it, so that everybody can experience victory. Just think about that in a
competitive
integrity
sense. At its finest.
It's like we're literally adding things so that a shit player who is legitimately not good can win against a pro.
That's basically everybody gets a participation award mentality.
That is literally what it is. Now think about that. And you're supposed to be an e-sport. And you have participation award mentality in the people that create the game. Like, that's just utterly stupid.
But it's utterly stupid.
That's
day.
Even a thought that goes through their brain. But hey, I mean,
shouldn't
it's their
the
game. They can do what they want.
That is good. Then be able to exploit that to their advantage and still wreck little Timmy.
Yeah, but remember, there's like a video on... there's a video on... I think it's Livestream Fails, where... what's the streamer's name? Tatman Tim, right?
Oh, yeah.
He turns his screen off, gets into the mech, he aims at the ground, turns his screen off, and then runs and kills like 5 people. Think about that.
Oh, it's pretty hilarious.
I'm just saying, those 5 people should have run
like
away.
That's a joke. Like, think like the best player in the world will get wrecked by like one of the worst just because the guy has an obscenely unfair advantage. Like,
and how do you get the mech?
What?
Is it
you
a...
just find it and get into it?
Oh, okay. So.
Lovely. You know, players dive in, they fall into the map, and they work really hard for it. It's good to know, you know, they spent the whole game farming the mech, Kappa. But I think at this point, I feel so happy to flame Fortnite because nothing I can say is as bad as what the players themselves are saying because they're so frustrated with the game. So I actually have a level of empathy for Fortnite players. And it's also pretty crazy that a game that big and successful doesn't just... Why don't they just have a separate competitive mode where you don't
because they balance for plebs. It balanced for the lowest common denominator, which means that as a competitive player, you're not the people that they care about. They won't add a ranked mode. They don't care about a ranked mode because it's going to split their player base.
And the competitive player's reward is in competing and winning a massive prize money. And that's it. That's probably how far they go.
You're just another drop in the ocean to them.
All right. It's pretty rough.
It would be the equivalent of, like, think about this. It's like, imagine if Roger Federer had to play every open qualifier for every event that he attended.
Yeah.
So if 10,000 people enter a tennis event, he has to start right from the bottom in the group, like, round of 10,000.
That's a crazy way to look at it, actually, but it's a fairly good point because that is the system, which kind of made sense for the first one. But like you say, there's no incentive to change because the game is just so big. They don't give actually give a shit about what the small, minute
The thing is, League of Legends
player base of the top players actually care about, because like in Dota, if you look at like from Divine players up, which is not even the highest rank, it's like only like 1% of the player base, right?
Yeah, it's less than 1%. It's like 0.1% or something.
Yeah,
by the time you get to like the top. One or two ranks, like 0.1% of the entire player base is at that rank, which is exactly how a bell curve works. That, like, if you play and you are good at something, like, the people that make it to the top level of professional soccer, that's like 0.0001% of all players get to that level. But that is how it just works. Like, the best players get to the top. Now, if you actively create a system that doesn't allow them to show off their full abilities and actively helps bad players beat them, what incentive is there to carry on? Because you can't win through a skill alone. It becomes so much about luck that it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've bagged on things like Hearthstone and, you know, card games previously for having too much RNG. Like, they at least incentivize building a proper deck.
Yeah, like, and that's it's part not like of the game, right?
Yeah, it's not like there's a card that like randomly drops between the two players in Hearthstone and whoever gets it first, like, oh, sorry, he just wins the game. What?
Yeah.
So just like this already brings me into, oh, wait, that makes me think of Overwatch and our new Rolock and our new placements. Oh my god. I still haven't done DPS.
It's all right. In fact, Dota, they also split up the MMRs between support and carry, which is the one change I actually don't like about the new system. But what I do like to hear, Gutter Lily, is what you have to say about the complex system of Overwatch and how it's causing people to burn out. Now, so our first topic of today is about basically the MCU of esports, right? Overwatch League.
I mean, the MCU is actually successful.
Overwatch League is a mystery shrouded in fog, and we don't know what's going on. Yeah, as far as success goes.
I mean,
we're told it's very successful.
They just announced, I mean, you guys announced the homestands this past week, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, that's one thing like that. That's where we're really going to see how successful Overwatch is.
Yeah, how many people are actually going to go out on a weekly basis instead of just the three that we had this year? Yeah. Because that's stadiums that need to be filled.
I am memeing a bit when I say, like, Overwatch League is successful. Like, I mean, we can only really see what, you know, you have the industry insiders who say it's not successful, and then you see Overwatch League themselves who say it is successful. But, like, let's just say that the signs point to what the industry insiders are saying. It's a little bit more realistic than what Overwatch themselves are saying.
Yep, definitely. Let's see. Okay, so we actually, this came from something that Prof mentioned. Was the beginning of this week, end of last week, we were talking about just how many Overwatch players actually end up, I actually should have looked at the exact numbers, but how many actual of the professional players are retiring after just two seasons or barely a season? I mean,
for a game that's 3 years old, it's wild.
Yep. So I actually don't know how it compares to when you would look at when CS actually started taking off the second time, or with Dota, but because it's such a small group.
Even if you look at how those scenes evolved, it's like you'd still have people that could like drop down to the second level. You know, like they might be bad for CSGO, for instance. Like say, I'm trying to think of a player now that was like bad. I mean, you could have like, let's say Delpan, like he was a famous 1.6 player, one of the best players in the world. At the end of 1.6, CSGO comes out. He's not even close to that good. He still hung around for like 2 years playing at lower levels. And I think if you went and checked on like the stats websites, you'd probably see him still playing on some like, you know, tier 18 level team where like he's playing fun type of thing. But like for me, the thing that like makes the whole, like, so I just want to like state the point is that like, I mean, it's like Overwatch League only has one system that you can play in. Like if you're not in Overwatch League, you go into contenders, and contenders, from what we understand, is largely just like it's the Bane Pit from you know the Dark Knight Rises. Like you basically, the people that walk climb out there are so few, and it basically kills everybody else down there. So I just think that it's like most esports, like if you can't succeed at the top level, you drop down to the one below that, whereas in Overwatch it's like, oh, I'm not going to succeed at the top level anymore.
I'm going to become a streamer.
I'm just going to, like, yeah, they just straight up retire because there is nothing below. It's like Overwatch League contenders, if any team's willing to pick you up, nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're just like, no, we're done with this.
Because what you've seen a lot is, like, I've kind of jokingly mentioned, oh, I'm going to be streaming Overwatch. But you've seen that, like, from contenders players. I remember speaking about this in the beginning of the year, some contenders, like, two or three, like, in 1 month, they dropped out to streaming careers. Then there is, if you just look at like the Fran, XQC, Seagull, just like three massive ones.
Yeah.
They did the exact same thing. Like, oh, this is kind of, it's too much pressure. It's like mentally I'm not doing great. I need to. And I don't know if that really is the cause or what it would be. But Seagull then this weekend actually had a little chat about it on his stream, where he now resides. And he's basically said that he thinks that Overwatch ends up being more complicated, being with 21 maps currently in the full competitive mode, new additions moving in and out, four different game modes, and balance changes that, constant balance changes, I wouldn't say, but, you know, balance changes coming in and new heroes coming in makes it really difficult to stay up to date with the meta. And because of that, players are suffering.
Yeah, it's too many things changing.
Too many things changing constantly. But I don't know if that is really... Is it just a mindset that we have as Overwatch players? Because I do feel like games like Dota and CS, there is also balance changes. Is it different? Is it more?
I think with Overwatch, I mean, you were mentioning that it's like there's balance changes on the heroes. There's map changes. They've just brought in this like new role queue now. I mean, for most of the year, like, the best DPS players in the world were basically playing tanks.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, wait, sorry, your football striker can't score points anymore. You know, you can't score goals with a striker anymore. You have to use, like, a freaking midfielder.
Mm.
So it's just like, okay, well, we'll just sack our team with midfielders then, won't we? Like, we won't play strikers anymore, which is, like, it's a bit ludicrous to, like, think that was actually, like, an option.
But I mean, the one thing that also happened is then that they are arguing that the reason, because it is so complex and because of these changes, that's why when something like Ghosts comes in, everybody just hops on and mimics it, and then
that's just professional level.
Okay.
I mean, I said it on Twitter the day that, like, I think it was the day after we spoke about after the episode where we had Naori Mizuki on.
Mm.
And I said, like, the problem with that, saying that, like, players don't like that kind of, or, you know, players will just take that, the best thing, and just work on it. It's like, that's just professional play.
Mm.
Like, it is stupid of a professional level player whose job is to win to not take the best
possible
option.
The strongest thing at the time, then is what everybody is
like,
saying you play.
You're not going to win points for being a white, you know, like, for being the white knight that, like, you know, oh,
anti-dive.
I'll play anti-dive, even though anti-dive is, like, the worst possible meta that you can play. It's like, no, dive is cheap. I'm not, it's like, okay, I mean, you can go out like a samurai, but you're still going to die. Like, I'll give you props, but you ain't going to win. It's,
the issue is also multifaceted, right? Because it's not, like, I think the point that Seagull raises could be a very valid point. I think, like you said, having so many different maps, having new heroes come in all the time, I think having different game modes makes the game quite complex, right? I don't know if I would go and rate Overwatch more complex than a game like Dota, but again, I don't understand Overwatch at the highest.
It's complex in different ways.
For sure, yeah. For sure. It is complex in different ways, right? So that could be an element, but I think that stems, like, the complex part is, like, part of the bigger issue, which I think is, like, things like burnout, having such a long season, having all this immense pressure on you to perform at the Overwatch League's highest level, right? Because that's
like
what the Overwatch League players have to do.
Would also then, you know, all that pressure, and then you're also under this, like, almost want to say, like, Disney-fied, environment.
Yeah.
Right.
Where it's all good all the time. Magic,
I mean, it's also, you got to remember, a lot of these kids are very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go from, oh, I can play as much as I want during the day and rely off my natural seal if I'm going to be a bit lazy at the time, to, oh, you have to now grind
all the time.
Let's say it's 5 hours a day, like 5 hours of practice, right? Massive difference between an enforced 5 hour regimen and you wanting to play 6 or 7 hours a day and being able to do that of your own free will. It's like, you have to practice in certain ways, and et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, especially,
you can see that,
I think we can all say it, like, it's like, when, I mean, when we were that age, it's like, you sort of, like, coming out of school where you had a lot of free time and you could sort of do what you want. And now you have to do certain things. And, you know, a lot of people won't necessarily like that. They'll act out, and they will be a bit more difficult. And when people say, okay, well, you're going to be off the team, then they'll just be like, okay, well, fine, then I retire. So, yeah, like, the problem is it's multifaceted. I think Seagull does raise one point that the complexity is a problem, but I think there are way more issues.
I think the way that also it just flows from that, like I mentioned with the whole, how the meta got stuck on goats as well, we are going to see probably a lot of changes then going into next year. Like, I think entire rosters are going to be gone.
Just going,
especially with, like, the performance currently. So,
I mean,
I don't know.
That is another problem.
Once you're back there, you're sitting with entire new teams again.
Yeah.
And then what? How long will they last?
That, I think, is another issue, is that, like, because of the changes, can have such a wild impact on how good certain heroes are. Like, you know, it's like, the problem is you get picked up by an Overwatch team, and then you have to sit with that team for, like, let's say 6 months at least.
Mm.
Whereas in Dota and CSGO, you can pick up a player, and because there's enough tournaments going on, you can see, okay, well, this kid's not going to work.
Mm.
So I'll kick him out in 2 months, and that's it. Like, he doesn't get back to the top. And if he does, he'll have grinded his way back to the top, but, like, he'll kick out those players. Whereas in Overwatch, it just seems like they get to the top, and because there's no way down from there, like, they basically get, you know, you get picked up from Contenders, which is, again, like the only real league. There's not many other competitions that you can enter consistently and you know, play the whole time at a high enough level. So you sort of don't know how good a player can actually be until he gets right to the top. And then you see, okay, well, he goes from Contenders to Overwatch League. And like, let's say he gets exposed at Overwatch League. Well, do you send him back down to Contenders now? Like,
well, I mean, that's why there were so many players sitting that were benched.
Yeah.
And they ended up like when I was last on the podcast, which feels like forever ago, and I was talking about that player that went back to China and he wasn't really interested in even playing in Overwatch League. So I think that's also another thing that comes up, like players getting the opportunity but not getting play time, and then obviously just all the immense pressure plus what Seagull mentioned. So it's multifaceted. Wow, that's not even a word. That word is not going to come out right. So I'm just going to abandon it and move on. Thank you. Like I said, I don't think it's going to look any better in going into next season as this one ends. So here we go again. Yay.
I think it also comes down to the devs, right? I think, like, I know I'm the typical guy who flames Blizzard all the time about this shit, but like, I think if the game modes, like, again, like the Fortnite thing, you don't have to have the same game mode you play for pubs as your competitive game match. Do what CSGO does. Have a map rotation. Have six maps for this amount, these 3 months of the season. Have six maps for the next couple of, like, well, change it up, keep it spicy.
But CSGO doesn't actually do that. We've got, like, we rotate as in we have seven maps, and then when one gets reworked, they'll take one out of the pool and then add a new one.
Yeah, but in CSGO's case, like, Valve doesn't really care about your fucking game, so it's like, no, it takes very long.
No, I mean, like,
Overwatch can be a bit faster.
That is what I'm saying. Like, when I was saying that, like, there's so much that changes in Overwatch. Like, right, if you look at League of Legends and you look at Dota and you look at CSGO, right, all of them have a fairly unchanging map.
Right.
You know, like, Dota will have map changes on occasion, and there have been some, you know, massive changes, but in general, it's still the same map. Vaguely looks the same. They might move things around, and as a result, you'll change. But it's not like they're changing the map every 3 months. Whereas in Overwatch, they'll add a map in this, you know, like they add a map in like stage one that they'll take out in stage two. And that's the problem. Is that, like, okay, you now have to learn a whole bunch of set of maps, and like, oh, this one's like, this is a control map, and this is like a push map, and it's like, that becomes a real issue because certain players will be very good at control, but are not great at what's the other mode where you have to like push the cart?
Yeah, it's basically payloads control.
Yeah, payload. So it's like, you know, like certain players PCP. Certain players will be great at control, but like not great at payload. Now what do you do?
That's fair.
So you have a great player that you can't use half the time. Yeah, and that's the problem. Is like, so that change, like those maps change regularly. Then you have the hero changes, and it's like I can certainly see why it becomes like incredibly difficult to maintain all of these things as a player, and constantly have to be learning new things. Whereas like in Dota and League of Legends and CS:GO, it's like you can practice certain things because they're not really going to change. Like last hitting mechanics will be largely the same for a hero. Like, yeah, each hero will have a slightly different backswing, etc. But once you learn how to, you know, handle the hero, you still play that.
Yeah, I'll leave my final thoughts on this, that I think it could be an issue, though. The way they balance the game is not that great for competitive players with the amount of pressure it adds. But I also think it's like, it's just a small part of a larger problem.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I'm also with you on that.
Hey, we're in agreement about Overwatch, Godzilla. I never thought the day would come.
You didn't go nuts and burn it down, so.
I'm in a surprisingly good mood today, you know? I'm just happy. Because you know what's the next thing I have to talk about?
Oh, dear God.
Team fucking I, baby.
Let me just give my pillow.
So, in terms of the poll that I just mentioned earlier, what is the greatest esports event? The International, the League of Legends Worlds, ESL 1 Cologne, Overwatch League Playoffs. You know what I'm voting. TI every day. This event is the fucking best, man. It's been so great, right? There's so many angles I can cover of TI. I think the first one, so I'll actually talk about a point Scan mentioned, is that on the first day of TI, we had all these crazy games in the groups, right? Top teams losing, these other teams you're not expecting doing well, and it's like, oh shit, what's going on? How's the groups going to end? Well, you know how the group ended? With actually all the like top teams that you expected to be at the top, there minus Liquid, were below, I think, newbie it was. So it was like, Dan mentioned it was so great to see that this like long group formats or the league formats, actually, it does push up the best team to the top.
But I mean, I'll fully agree on one aspect of TI being the best, right? Qualification to TI and TI's structure, I think, is unparalleled in esports, because the only way to qualify to TI is to go through the DBC, which means you have to get enough points at the events throughout the year to qualify, right? So once you've qualified there, you've basically locked for the year. So it rewards consistent success throughout the year. Then the second option is to go through qualifiers, what is it, like a month or two before TI. So again, if you don't get in with the first 8 slots, you can then, like, you play the rest of the way through.
Right.
Right. And the format is absolutely amazing. They have a round robin, two groups of round robin. Nobody gets knocked out except the absolute last players, right? So you play 16 games, and then if you were the absolute worst in your group, you'll go out. That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of the people get then thrown into a double elimination bracket. That, like, at the end of it, like, you can't say, like, oh, the winner wasn't the best team at the tournament. Yeah, they might not be the best team of the year, but at TI, they were the best team.
For and sure.
That is all you want to do.
I can say, even, though, that if I wouldn't know if it is the best, but even in my mind, it's definitely the biggest.
No, I mean,
you can't.
I think in terms of pageantry, in terms of pageantry, I think League of Legends Worlds is probably better than
what's League of Legends
TI. like what I'm saying is, like, in terms of like the spectacle, I think League of Legends Worlds is probably better. Overwatch League, they obviously had a pretty big thing last year. We'll have to see how it is this year. I don't really know if it's going to reach the same level of spectacle, but, you know, that could be, in terms of TI, a larger spectacle in TI. But if I'm watching TI, there's no, like, oh, there was a BS lucky run. Like, there's been CSGO majors, world championships, teams win, and you're like, yeah, that team's not that great. Because, like, a month later, they'll get, like, wrecked and, like, knocked out in groups type thing. Like, they... And you'd be like, that team got lucky. They, you know, like, they hit on a crazy run of form. They got an easy bracket. Like, Dota, you're playing the best teams in the world. Like, if you win TI, congratulations. For that 2 weeks, you were the best team in the world. And it's not, you didn't get lucky. You didn't get the right draws. You literally had to beat the best of the best to make it to the top. And that's, I think, all that anybody wants. So for me, in terms of tournament structure and qualification, to TI, I think TI is unparalleled, but I don't think TI is necessarily, like, all round necessarily the best event.
Yeah, it's very hard to say as well. And if you are a fan of League of Legends, Worlds is going to be the best. If you're a fan of ESL1 Cologne, ESL1 is going to be the best. I think even the way, when I look at the ESL1 Cologne, the way they do their broadcast is probably maybe the best I've seen in esports, or maybe Rivals Overwatch League, which I also think is better than Dota. But, like,
except when there's, like, a multiple super long break because of technical difficulty.
Oh, yeah. But that's every esport event. No esport event escapes that. Okay? That's just one of the things. And even, like, Prof says about the format, like, me and my brother were discussing this as well. Like, the best of one eliminations in the first round of the main event for the lower bracket is, like, it seems so rough, right? But if you think about it,
that's your 17th game.
Yeah, that's your 17th game. So, at this point, you're in a rough position. You gotta fucking do it. That's why nobody can really complain, right? So, yeah. I think another thing I want to talk about in our TI is the content. I mean, KC and Slacks, I know you're a bigger Slack hater in the whole world, Prof. But, man, these guys have been doing such a good job. I think the Vici Gaming video with ROTK and Dead Yang is arguably one of the greatest memes I've seen in Dota. And Dota has a lot of dank memes, you know? So that was really great.
What was that whole, like, stupid little video that they had between, which game was it this morning? Or was it yesterday? I forget now. Like, there was some, like, crazy game, and, like, in between the games, they had some, yes, like, stupid food segment, which is, like...
I'll get Thorin's tweet. Thorin tweeted it. He's like, how can you have, in the biggest game of the tournament thus far, one of the biggest games, in between that, instead of having the fucking panel going, you have a food segment? And this is also another point I want to bring out, which I think, I don't know if it's on that, or like that on the other broadcasts, but in the English broadcast, I think there's been a few times where I've seen, like, pretty clear broadcasting errors, right? Even one, there was a big team fight going on with, I think it was in the Vici versus TNT game in the upper bracket, and then as the team fight starts, they cut to a replay, and Odie Pixel's like, replay for what? It turns out it's a big meme and people loved it. But like, I think that's a pretty big broadcasting error. I think, like you said, that going to that guest segment there was a bit shaky. If you watch the broadcast and really pay attention, there's a couple of mistakes here and there that you wouldn't really see, you wouldn't really expect to see on a top level broadcast at an event like TI. But I will say that this year, the English stream is not the mainstream. It's not even the second fucking stream. It's the third stream, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an excuse for what happened, but I think like, if you see, I think the China stream would probably be looking a bit different.
From what I understand, it is. Like, they actually introduce all the players and all the rest. That's why, like, I forgot who was saying it. It was also on Twitter. It was like, might have been Marley, but I'm unclear. Like, but apparently, like, on the Chinese streams, they, like, actually introduce every player. And you'll actually hear the crowd cheering, but they mute the crowd on the English stream when that happens. So you can't hear the crowd when they're, like, introducing the players. Because, like, each player gets introduced and then they'll, like, cheer for those players. Unless it's Cuckoo, of course.
We'll get to that in a bit. So, yeah, I think, like you said, there is some errors. But I do think it can bring me to the next part. But the English broadcast or the Western part of the event is not the main part. And this is the funniest thing for me in the whole of TI, right? If you go on Reddit, you see a whole bunch of fucking salty-ass insults, for lack of a better term, complaining about quote-unquote China bias, right? What is their reasons? When the Chinese team plays, the guys cheer, and when the Western team is beating a China team, they don't
cheer. They're quiet.
Like, okay, firstly, let's unpack this, because there's a couple of more things that happen. But I'll give this one, for example. You on Reddit are mostly from the USA, right? We accept that.
Yeah, well, statement, I mean, right? At least English-speaking countries.
Except English-speaking. If you go to any USA sporting event, if you're going to watch a Cleveland Cavaliers game and they're playing against Golden State Warriors, not one fucking fan in that building is going to cheer for Golden State. It'll never happen. If Steph Curry is taking a free throw there, people are going to boo the motherfucker. That's how bad it is, right? Yeah. So you can't be like, oh, why are the Chinese population cheering for China teams? That's their fucking home teams. Hello?
And the best was, Nadia, for a better context, or, like, why are they getting mad triggered, right, is the day that they complained was the first day of the main stage. The first day of the main stage had Chinese team versus a Western team in the game one. In game two, it was a Chinese team versus a Western team. In game three, it was a Chinese team versus a Western team. And in game four, it was a Chinese team versus a Western team. And then, like, five and six were, like, two Western teams. And people were like, oh.
That's just natural.
It's like, who do you think they're going to support? Like, the fact that they're quiet when their team is losing is just like, are you stupid? Like, are you legit stupid?
That is, if you've ever seen any sporting event, that is how it works.
Well, yeah. Even people on Reddit don't know how sporting events work because, in their own country.
Because, like, they get, like, mad upset when they're like, oh, but when you come to America, like, all the teams cheer. That's because there are no American teams, you dumbass. Like, like, if you listen to it, they're like, oh, EG. And, like, whenever EG does well, they chant USA. And it's like, and EG has how many USA players? Oh, none.
Exactly. And when EG does play, you hear this USA chant. They're only cheering for USA, right? And it's like, and then the complaints are like, oh, but now it's in China. How is any Western fan supposed to get there? Like, holy fuck. 8 years in a row, it's been in the West, right? Now it's one year in China. It's like, I mean, that's the flip. You didn't like, acknowledge that at all. Blows my mind, dude. I think the best tweet that I've seen that sums it up is actually D2 Bowie, my favorite Dota YouTuber. He's like, okay, with you complaining about biased crowds, if you have the self-awareness to realize how we as Westerners are biased to everything and everyone that doesn't speak English. Okay, it's a bit of a weird tweet to quote. But basically what he's saying is, like, you complaining about biased crowds when if you, and China bias and this and that, but you are the exact same thing with Western bias. Like, it's...
Yeah, you've it's just like never had to experience Chinese bias.
The thing is, I don't even know if it would fall under bias, but it's like, if there is a South African team of whatever playing against any other team, it could be a fantastic overseas team, it can be any sport. You, as a South African, would generally support your team or the one that you've got the closest affiliation with.
Yeah.
So, this is weird.
I mean, like, especially with people like, oh, like the... I mean, the other thing that I got upset by was, like, the crowd left after the like, second to last game of the night. And they were like, oh, like, the crowd left because there's no Chinese teams playing. It's also 11 o'clock, and they've probably been there since 10 a.m. Like, yeah. It's like 13 hours. Like, explain to me what sporting
and
event
also,
or like music show you go to that's like 13 hours long.
Before it ends, you skip traffic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, actually, that's not true if you go to an American basketball game, so I found out. Because if you're in a fan, again, in America, in an American sport, with American, all-American teams playing, if your team is losing, you leave early. People get up and fucking leave. It doesn't even have to be like, it's like you complain about all this shit when the same shit happens everywhere. It's not even shit. It's just fact, like just fact.
Yeah,
it's just like basic ass what people do.
Like, the thing is, you know, it's not nice. Like, we're not saying like, it's not like, oh, it's fine that they do that. Like,
it's
not really fine, but like to get that upset about is like, dude, just like, there's better things to waste your energy on than getting upset about a Chinese crowd not supporting the Chinese team in those games. I mean, and they were perfectly fine today. Like, when Liquid came out, they were like huge cheers and all the rest. So it's like, I mean, what are you worrying about? Like, when teams that are not, when two Western teams play against each other, like, the Chinese crowd has been pretty reasonable. It's only when
it's
the Chinese
epic
teams play, it's like obviously going to be more biased towards Chinese.
The Secret versus EG, like, the stadium was like, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I can imagine that stadium was probably shaking during that game. It was one of the most hyped games we've ever seen at TI. It was just, and you could hear the crowd was screaming. They were nuts because it's good Dota, but you can't, like, to explain how popular LGD is in China, right? You have to look at the other Chinese teams playing, the Royal Never Give Ups, the Vici Gamings. They have, because I don't know if you know the fucking TP thing where you click your favorite team in your Dota compendium, and when you TP, you have the logo come up, right? The Vici Gaming players have LGD's logo in their TP. That's how loved LGD are in China. Like, it's amazing. This is good for the esport, right? I won't even get touch on the fact that the Chinese and the Russian fan bases in Dota are significantly bigger than the Western fan bases, but that's another topic, right? So I think we can kill the bias thing. I want to just touch on my favorite moment in TI as well. Sorry, Gatilali, I apologize.
Go for it. But like, this, you are clearly living your dream.
I've been so happy this last week, okay? It's one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen in TI. It was Insania and Team Alliance when they were trying to ban Gyrocopter in the game. It was fourth ban or fifth ban, and they got their fourth pick. And by accident, the timer ran out for the ban, and he picked Gyrocopter by mistake. And I saw footage of the booth. I saw the interview afterwards, and he's like, he immediately says, "Guys, what the fuck? What happened? I just fucked up." And he's the captain. He's taking on this responsibility. He's like, "Guys, I just fucked this." And immediately his team was just like, "No, man, look at this. We can play Void offline. No, we're gonna do this. We're gonna fuck these guys. We got this." And what the, like, they with picking an extra core when they already had two cores on the fourth pick that could get counted, they still put up such a good fight. It was amazing to watch, and I didn't know this at the time. Watching it afterwards in the interview, Insania saying that he fucked up and he feels really bad, and his team is, and he feels like he lost his team the game and shit. And then something I've never seen happen in the Dota community. Yeah, I'm exaggerating a bit, but the whole community is rallied to support this guy because he went there, he made a mistake that happens like every captain probably experiences once in Dota at least, and he admitted it on the bigger stage. He took responsibility. His team rallied behind him. And, like, the whole community, you can go look at any Dota tweet. This Insania guy has just been pumped up. He's like, he was so bleak, and now he's like, "Thanks for the support, guys. That's, we turned a bad situation into a brilliant one."
All I'm going to say is that you can say whatever you want about him screwing that up. There was four other players and a coach in that booth with him, and none of them decided to check the time.
Yeah, for sure. And that's
so
what,
it's
that's
like, it's not his fault alone. Like, 100%, to say that it's only his fault is, like, a bit stupid.
Yeah. It is. And all these teammates, none of them has made that claim. Nobody has, like, made that. Like, the thing is, I'm telling you, every single draft has made that mistake in Dota. It's just unfortunate it happened on the bigger stage in Dota, right? So it's sad, but I think it made for a good story, as Insania said himself. I think it was really inspiring when I saw that. And so when I was watching the stream and they showed the team communication that happened at that point at the end of the stream, I actually fucking teared up. I was crying. I was, like, so inspiring, man. So
dude, I just watched the Chinese team that was playing against them, Royal Never Give Up, and then I just see Lannan like, "Oh, they screwed up. They did not meant to pick that." Look, he's putting his hands on his head. And I was just like, "Yep, they know you screwed up, boys."
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Fucking, it's wild, dude. It's so wild. Here's one thing, though. This is the last thing I have to say about TI for this episode, I'll complain about all the bad things next week when TI is done, is that we all got duped. The entirety of the esports industry got fucking duped, right? Slasher, or it was actually getting tweeted a lot about the whole China skyline in the CBD or whatever.
Dude, I saw that on Reddit.
The reason
I believed it is it because it was our Lord and Savior, Mr. Slasher.
Slasher. And he tweeted, 100%, this is real, guys. Look at this. The whole China skyline has all the the team logos and shit. And everybody in esports was blown away, right? Then it does get said later that that's not the case. And Monte Cristo debunked it quite well. He's like, Shanghai skyline can't actually do that in real life. It isn't that interesting, unfortunately. Hong Kong comes slightly closer, but still doesn't actually have the technology to render resolutions of like
that great.
At that level yet. Like, there's no, you can't do that yet.
I felt like my mom believing something on Facebook.
Yeah, same.
it was pretty bad. It looked sick, but I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know.
I was like,
something just didn't feel right about that.
I can understand like lights, because I've seen that before. But then I was like, holy crap, they're doing like entire, or what, pixels? How are they doing this? Is it panels? What's happening? And then it's like, no, you're just old and stupid, Nadia.
It's like we all wanted to believe it so bad, because you also have to think about it. Like, if you think about in Times Square, there's like a similar thing with the billboards and shit with the flashing shit.
That's like a lot smaller scale, though.
Yeah, it's much smaller than the China CBD, don't get me wrong. But like, it's like the companies pay millions of dollars to have their shit advertised there for this and for that, right? So how would you actually see all this shit go up for free as well? I was like, man.
I mean, the Chinese government, I mean, like the local Shanghai government might have been part of that as well. So
that is true. Mm. And yeah, Slasher just has a fucking meltdown and he realizes, holy shit, I was wrong. What am I doing with my life? Fuck this shit.
Well, I mean, he does work on is like the Fox News consultant. So it's like, I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, it's Slasher, right? It's our boy. He's our boy. He's the man, you know. But yeah, that's it for now for TI. Fuck, I love that event. Prophecy, talk about that Pew Pew game you like so much.
Well, I mean, there's not much to say other than that my chance to, you know, get super hyped starts next week. Actually, starts on Friday. And
wait, before you start, Prophecy, I know you super hyped about TI. What's your favorite moment of TI?
My favorite moment of TI is, I mean, I'm trying to think now. There was which LGD game was it now? I'm trying to think.
There's still a week left of it, right?
Yeah. Week recording on Tuesday, by the way, people are listening on Thursday. Yeah. Actually, Wednesday.
We're recording it on Wednesday. Should end. I think it ends on Sunday. So Sunday morning it'll end sometime around there. But I mean, like, I've been pretty impressed with the LGD stuff. I haven't been able to catch a lot of the games because they sort of, you know, work. It's like during work hours when most of them are on. The ending of the... what was it? The VG Gaming versus, was it TNC?
Yeah.
It was VG Gaming versus TNC, like the second game. Dear Lord, that thing was insane. Like the amount of like just utterly clutch. The watermelon, the Titan
Ravages.
Like the Ravages and stuff that he had to hit and like. Where it's like he has to like perfectly time it and then like hit them to like win. Like that game, like that series is probably my favorite. Like I wasn't able to catch much, if any, of the EG versus Secret game this morning. So, I mean, I missed that, but I'll probably go back and watch it. But I mean, in general, it's just been like, I think, very high class Dota all around. There have been like some really like bad games and like teams just not playing very well. Like I think Liquid is like way below their level. EG started like terribly. They were like what, 1-5 or something before they like squeaked into playoffs by like beating three of their last opponents like 2-0 and all the rest. So it's been a very high class Dota all around, which is, I mean, why I was saying that I think in terms of the tournament and qualification to it, I don't think there is anything like it in esports at the moment.
All right. Back to your pew pew game.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the CSGO, I mean, yeah, the next CSGO Major Berlin starts on Friday afternoon. I think it starts, let me get you the exact times, ladies and gents. It starts at 12 o'clock South African time. So that'll be, I don't know what else, probably 10 o'clock in Britain. And wherever you are in America, you'll have to do the maths, because I don't have time for that right now. But yeah, so, I mean, it's the first stage of it. It's like, it used to be like the major play-in and main qualifier, and they've now basically rolled it into the major. So it's basically the first section of the major. First 16 teams start playing to see who gets into the next stage, which is like the major proper. But that starts on Friday. Then I think we'll have a couple of days break, and it'll continue for the next 2 weeks or so. But yeah, I mean, it looks interesting. This is probably the least important stage of the tournament for neutral fans. Like, you'll get a lot of the sort of joker teams that have come through, squeaked in, and like probably won't do very well. So this is probably the lowest quality Counter-Strike that you will see coming through here.
Yeah.
But still, it's fun. Like, you get to see like a bit of madness going down there, because a lot of these teams, like, you won't see them very often. So they all tend to have like these wild play styles that a lot of the top teams won't expect. And sometimes the top teams can get caught out here. So best of ones, not something that I really enjoy, but it's the way they've designed the system. So it's going to get interesting. I mean, the other thing that they also announced today was actually the broadcast talent list. Now, I think you'd expect to see most people here. About the only two real complaints you could have is that Thorin's not there. See, I see there's a lot of complaints about Thorin not being there. And there's a lot of complaints about Maniac not being there. Now, I think Maniac being lost is a bit, I wouldn't say more important than Thorin, but like, I think given the fact that you don't have any real representation for the French teams at the event, because Maniac is Swiss, but he was part of the French scene. So I think Maniac being there would have added quite a lot. And I mean, Thorin adds like the whole historical element. He builds up really what like these games can mean to the teams, rather than like breaks down, you know, individual play and all the rest of each team. So I think they are a loss. Both of them would be massive losses. But for anybody that doesn't really want to watch that and rather wants to watch something more fun, you can go and check out the No Majors Club stream, which is sort of like the alternate, adults only version of Counter-Strike. That gets run on Richard Lewis's channel if you want to watch it there. It is pretty hilarious to watch. But they don't talk much about the CS. You sort of go there to like listen to a podcast and watch Counter-Strike. That's the podcast has nothing to do with Counter-Strike. It's like industry insider talk, flaming of like players, and like they get all sorts, like it'll be like players that don't or that haven't made it to the event that pop on, casters and like random people that have never been just haven't been invited to the major. They come by and they all just happen to talk shit for like the entire day, and then you just sit there and listen, and like they swap in and rotate out and all sorts of things. So I mean, and like I love that CSGO has that kind of thing, because you don't really see it in Dota. Like, you only really go to TI only really has the main streams, whereas like CSGO's whole culture is that it's now got this like secondary stream. And I mean, they get pretty decent numbers. I don't know, they get about 5,000-6,000 people at times on those
games.
That isn't
too bad.
And I mean, like I said, it's just like, I mean, the South African word would be cockproud. That's all they do. Like, they don't actually talk about the game, really. It's just a bit of fun. It's like a bunch of mates sitting watching the game. So, yeah, I mean, different options, obviously. And that usually starts at about the same time as the major. Sometimes they'll start a little bit later, depending on how the guys running that stream work. But, I mean, everything... If you want to watch the CSGO, it is the World Champs that starts 12 o'clock on Friday afternoon with Vitality versus Simon Gaming in a best of one. So, yeah, do go watch if you're interested. Otherwise, I mean, don't. It's also an option.
I feel like before we're going to move into local, I feel like I should just at least mention that this weekend would be the last... We're back to Overwatch, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the last regular matches before the season playoffs.
And when is season playoffs?
I think that starts, what? It's normally like a little break, and then it's not a lot. What's the date?
Put you on the spot.
You did. Isn't it just like, yeah, the playoffs starts on the 30th of August? No, it's literally just goes from this
What is this weekend?
Is that stage playoffs or season playoffs?
No, this is. Remember, we are finishing now. Well, yeah. So you are actually.
So it's season playoffs next week.
Season playoffs, yeah.
Oh, that's surprising. I mean, it's a bit confusing because they have like what four?
No way.
Four stages, and then they have.
The playoffs is this September the 7th. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So the stage playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's like stage four, the fourth like season of the year, basically.
Many numbers. But, so, if you're not this week, you can still skip, and if you really want to get into it, just watch those.
For any esports fan, especially if you're, like, an esports fan in general, like, there's a lot of very high-tier esports events going on in the next month or so.
Yep. So, I was actually just mentioning earlier as well, because Overwatch League is obviously now coming down to end, and then we only have the finals in September-ish, then it's the World Cup, and then there's nothing until February next year.
So we don't have to hear about Overwatch for a whole like 5 months.
No, you'll still hear about it because everybody will be fighting about whether it's alive or not for the next 6 months.
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, it's dead, and also, okay, this week this person retired, this week this one retired, and they got rid of this coach. And I'll probably be taking up like Apex Legends or something, or start talking about fighting games. I will in fact be starting to play Boot Fighter pretty soon. So that game looks
legit.
Bro, like, I feel like that is the way I would talk if I was a dude, just to everybody all the time. Just, I would probably get punched in the face.
There's like, actually people that talk like that, by the way.
I know, I've heard them. I've interacted with them.
I don't think you should let gender define you, Yogatulini. I think you should go live your best life regardless. You know, I want to hear, hey, you know, I can't even do the accent, but I think you should try, you know?
I might just cosplay as a Brit, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be me. Other people will be thick diva, and then I can be a Brit. Anyways, where was I? Yes, Overwatch playoffs. Watch it, stay tuned. We're almost there. We're almost at the end. Right, as you were.
All right. So you want to head over to local esports now, you know? Good old South African local is lekker kind of shit right now. First thing that we have to talk about is back to the Overwatch, in fact, Nadia.
Is it?
Who won the VS shit?
Oh, yes. And I actually watched it on the carpet of the very room that I am sitting in. A very, very hotly contested.
You watched it on the carpet?
I was sitting on the carpet.
Were your parents like sitting on the couch behind you?
I don't live with my parents. I am an adult.
Okay, because like that's the only time I ever remember watching stuff is like when I was watching rugby and then my dad would sit on the couch behind me. I don't know. Kids.
I don't know.
I
feel more grounded on the floor. I get bored easily watching TV. So
you have like a Play-Doh in front of you and you're like, little, when like, choo-choo trains.
You know, you say that, but that I really. This is a personal disclosure. I really struggle with watching TV. So if I would watch something, I would either have subtitles on so I can feel like I'm reading a book and watching TV at the same time, and it helps me focus. So anyways, what I was doing is...
So multitasking helps you focus.
I think you should try the Play-Doh, Gatilini. It might help.
Somebody give me Play-Doh. So I was watching it Sunday morning. Saturday and Sunday. It was pretty tight. We ended up with 80K unidentified, which for some reason is called 80K. 80K, I see on VS. This is Goliath Gaming. Woo! In the finals.
It was a pretty big... Yeah, I was just going to say like it was a pretty massive upset of Goliath beating Energy, because Energy's won just about everything this year, haven't they?
No. Energy kind of, they won last year. They did. So we had 80K, I think, was then still just unidentified. I think they finished second last year. So kind of like a situation of always the bridesmaid, never the bride, which kind of sucks. But they did put on a very good performance. I feel like the teams that did end up on top, so especially looking at the top three, is kind of what we expected at the beginning of the year. Maybe, I don't know if they did, but I feel like these were the names that I had definitely mentioned. The top five pretty much included everybody.
I mean, like, I've always known that the top three in Overwatch has been Goliath, Unidentified, and Energy. But, like, I mean, like, I mean, I know just about nothing about the local in Overwatch scene. But I know that Energy has been, like, by far the most dominant team of Overwatch in South Africa.
Yeah, remember last year we still had Boostios as well, and then they kind of just dropped out this year and ultimately disbanded and went into the wilderness. So that kind of, I want to say that threat kind of disappeared, and we were definitely left with the top three being those three teams. They did take up all the spots, and it was a pretty intense, it went, like I said, it wasn't an easy win. I'm taking nothing away from Goliath Gaming, because apparently they think I hate them. Now,
well, after this episode later, they will, don't worry.
I'm not a very fighting, no wait, I'm lying. I do fight a lot, but the thing is, I'm a pretty chill person. And I was actually rooting for, you know, I had no personal interest there, but, you know, you kind of wanted to see people do well, and the people you wanted to do well did do well. So very happy for them to win. I actually made notes if you want to hear it.
Well, yeah. You're taking your job real seriously. I like it.
Actually ended up erasing part of my notes on Route 66 by accident. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I should write about this, and now I don't think anybody's going to talk to me.
just give us the cliff notes.
Okay, cliff notes. It literally went like, Goliath Gaming wins. Next map, ATK wins. Then there's a draw. It go into what basically happened. I think there was this one point where Squishy was on Pharah, and he was not being focused, and he had so much control that I'm sitting here with Mark next to me. He's like, just focus the Pharah. And I'm like, okay, well, I can clearly see nobody is doing it. And they ended up with switching themselves. Goliath Gaming switched to, I think they put Mito on Pharah. And they had a pharmacy going. And it just completely turned the game around. And it was fantastic and beautiful to watch. And there were some fantastic ults going off. Then on, what was it? On Havana, they were struggling a bit. So I notice a lot with Mikalelelelele, which every time I look at his name, there's more leles, confusing me.
Is that like every when he adds a le?
I feel like maybe it is. That's a lot of les there. Les there? Anyways, with him on Havana, I was just constantly seeing that he kept surviving and getting these raises off. And you're just like, you know, you're watching it. Obviously, you're not in the game, but you're just screaming, just focus on Mercy. And ultimately did. So, well, my screenshot just actually went off. They did end up GG, lost that game again. And I recall there was a bit of a I don't know if it would have said anything, but I noticed the casters also say, oh, it looks like people are starting to get tilted now. And that's when you're like, oh, yes, give me more.
What's it like when people tilt in games at pro level?
I want to see somebody throw something. And not a sandwich. So that happened, and I ultimately, Ilias, again, ATK took it, and then we ended up on Route 66. But like I said, none of these, it kind of went one win the whole time, and even when one team took the win, it was never a pushover, so it was really good to see. It was good games. I don't think we, like, I feel like maybe I can't say anything because I might get attacked, but I don't think we're quite at the complete highest level of play quite yet, but it was definitely exciting games to watch. We're definitely on a very good road to where they probably need to be, and I'm just really hoping that the players that we have now are sticking it out and grinding, and, you know, next year we see building on what we've got at the moment. So
right.
Will that happen? We don't know. I've seen a lot of retirement tweets coming up on the timeline already, mostly from some of the lower placed teams. I saw Paragon is unfortunately heading out, maybe hopefully focusing on some casting. I know that DDC Divinity ended up top 5. They are disbanding. They confirmed to me a bit earlier this evening. But then you're also seeing that a team like DDC Dominion, who was basically the other branch of DDC, for example, they are reforming, already confirming some players for next year and building a really strong roster. So I'm pretty amped for next year. I think it's going to look good.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, can't ask for much more than that. I mean, obviously Overwatch It's going to be a very different Overwatch scene next year to what we're what we've seen this year. I will say that. No more goats. No more goats.
It's not goats for now, but well, or ever again until they change that. But like I said, my hope is just that what the teams are at the moment, that there is not too much changes, because you know at this level, I know they all think themselves to be professional players, but there's always the fact that, you know, people can't commit as much time as they need to. People start going to uni. People start going into matric. There's like all those kind of changes that happen. And then they have to realize, okay, well, the gaming is not going to work out. And you lose really good players. And your scene just ends up taking a hit because just of the fact that, you know, we're not a professional scene that supports what needs to, you know, the support that needs to be there for these players to build on. So, yeah, like I said, my biggest thing is just build on what we've got and support that and just hope for the freaking best. And we've also got the World Cup coming up, so maybe, if, you know, if we ultimately make it there, they seem to have some resources coming in. If they do make it and anybody gets to perform as they want to, then maybe that will encourage that as well. So, yeah.
I thought you were gonna, you know, I was shocked. I was like, holy shit, some local ass VS gaming event happened and we're just gonna leave it with a positive sentiment. Am I correct? Am I going crazy? And you're like, well, you gotta remember that.
I still feel that, like, for me saying that, I feel like that is a positive thing. I know I have now learned that you can't crit anything, because if you crit anything, you are an enemy of the people. And they will come find you, and they will beat you down, son.
Nadia, you didn't like my sister's 18th K-pop tweet of yesterday? Fuck you, man. You're now my enemy.
I don't even follow your sister. Wait, maybe I do.
Don't worry. She doesn't even follow her own brother. She follows Camille, just not his other brother.
No, she does follow him. She loves him the most. It's just,
I was just thinking, he's the most popular one here. But yeah, so that was local Overwatch. Guys, come check it out. One thing that was funny, though, was I think for next year or for the next televised thing, you should maybe just tell the players that, you know, there is a camera focused on you.
Oh.
The pressure is going to be on, sons. So maybe eat a little less sandwiches in the corner and don't scratch your nose. You'll get caught out.
Yeah, all right. I like that. So,
anyways, I was like ranting, I feel like, but you know, it's all good.
We're gonna ban you from thinking about local Overwatch. You take it too seriously, you know? You're gonna be the donor call from now on. All right. So, in terms of taking things seriously, here's something South Africa does not take seriously. That is conflict of interest. In this context, it's about the ownership of Goliath Gaming and Big Five and the Middle State ROG. Big yada yada thing happening at Rage, which is the first time we're actually announcing it on the podcast. So yay, we're seeing another 20,000 rand CSGO LAN at Rage. Great. I'm actually pumped. I'm getting my tickets ready and I'm gonna go watch and I'm gonna scream and shout about fucking CSGO, because it's actually so hype at events like Rage. It's awesome.
It's actually, I think, one of those that are it's best to watch live. Because I know I say, like, I don't watch CSGO unless I'm being forced to, or somebody's like, please look at this, look at it. But when you are at a live event like Rage, then that is, it's exciting to watch, and it's always great to get to see people actually being interested, like catching their eye, they're coming over and just, you know, picking your team randomly like a racehorse and watching them win or lose. Love it.
For sure. So now the issue I have, where I see conflict of interest in this event, comes from the broadcasting side, of course. We have the ownership of, or part owners of Goliath and Big Five are the broadcasters for this event. Now, there's a lot of arguments going on around things like how do casters influence the event, that sort of thing, these kind of things, questions being asked, statements being made. And I just want to, let's just talk about the role of broadcasting industry to start off, right? Firstly, you have guys talking about their own teams in a game, right? So that, we can already point out the bias there. Now, bias, I will say, is not necessarily a bad thing in broadcasting, because if you ever watch a game of English football with an English commentator, you know bias is a very real thing, right? I mean, in their eyes, Ashley Cole is like better than Lionel Messi. That's just how biased it gets.
A good example would be in South African rugby back in the day. I don't know if the man is still alive, but for example, you would have Nas Butha, and Nas Butha would be in the studio talking about rugby. So you have something like a Curry Cup or whatever the heck the other one is that's bigger, and with more nations playing, whatever the hell that is called. I don't sports. Summoned.
Super 14.
Maybe.
Super Rugby.
Super Rugby. That is the correct word. You win a thumbs up. So you'd have him talking, and then you get this idea that he's like really super amped about whenever the Bulls do something, and then when they fumble or they lose, then he's just like super despondent. Or he says the wrong, like, he doesn't necessarily know players on the other side's names, but he's like, the Bulls ones, he will know. So I guess that's like the most basic vibe of the concept that we are talking about.
But I mean, the problem is, like, he's still not a direct member. Like, he used to play for the Bulls.
He's just a super fan.
He doesn't own the Bulls.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the point I was going to make next. So you do have things like bias in commentary, especially in sports commentary, what the Nas Butha's, the English football commentators, but they are biased for things like patriotism, supporting their country, they have this, they have that going on. In the case of Goliath Gaming and Big Five, these gentlemen, Gauls and Tulani, have direct financial ties to the teams as well. So that is, I don't think, I will clarify and say, I don't think anything shady goes on that, like, this is a bet that, like, they're going to somehow cheat or whatever. Nah, they're commentators, right? But again, what is the job of the commentator? I go again. So you say you get bias in commentary, but if you look at esports commentary, you don't really have this sort of things going on. Your commentator is there giving you, just showcasing the game, hyping up the moments when they can, explaining difficult concepts you analyze for your analyst on other things, right? That's what they do. But again, they're doing it from, everybody has bias, but it's very different to have bias and then have like the owners of teams casting those same teams, right? That's, in my opinion, a very different thing.
I know you can't say anything wrong about people in this scene, like, not wrong. You can't crit them because it's just the absolute worst. But I can see, and I feel like if people would just be slightly more open-minded, I can see why a team playing against a team who has somebody higher up doing something else, be it casting and making their team sound great and the other team not, or even if they just, even if there's an idea that an impression that you are favoring the one over the other, it creates a bad impression. And that's where I think people, when they generally just talk about conflict of interest, that's why their problem with it. Like, you're going to be blowing, you know, the horn of the one, and the other one is going to be, and that's just on the most basic level. And the fact that people just fall out, if you say something like that, then you get it, you will get attacked, and you will be talked down to, and you'll be, you know, and that's just how it is, and you have to accept it. Just sit down, shut up. You're wrong. We're right. This is all Gucci, which I didn't appreciate. But do it. By all means, do it. But go into the broadcasting details of it, please.
With bias only, it's that the tournament worked on an invite system. You have two people who are owners of teams broadcasting the games. Now, again, Metal State are hosting the tournament. Goliath Gaming owners are Gauls and Tulani. I don't think there's anything fishy going on here. But it does look bad when people you are hiring to work your event are also people who are getting invited to the... It's like so where does the connection lie? You know, questions start getting raised. You know what I mean, Prophecy?
Yeah, the problem is that, like, they're the invited teams and they're also casting the event. And that's just where it looks a bit sketch because... I mean, they certainly, the teams deserve to be invited. I'm not arguing that point.
Yeah, for sure.
Gauls and Tulani almost certainly deserve to work the event. Not arguing that point. It's the combination of the two. Because to a layman, a person that doesn't know what's going on, he looks at it and sees, okay, but the owner of this team is working at the event, and the owner of that team is working at the event, but their teams are invited. And a bunch of other teams have to qualify. Why does it work like that? That's the issue, is that like the impression that it gives is like, and it's not correct.
This isn't what happened.
Like, I know why the things happen, but like, unless you understand the stuff, if you just see the owners of these two teams that got invited are working at the event, it just looks fishy, and you can't afford to have things look fishy in this day and age, especially in CSGO, which got nailed for match fixing at a stage.
You're also making it seem as if people who are not interested in CS will watch locals.
Damn, Nadia, dropping the truth bombs.
That was uncalled for. But I do get where you're going. I guess that makes it more, that gives me more of an idea why people, well, why I saw the tweet that I saw today, where people are saying, oh, there is a conflict of interest in CS. It's a problem and it's more blatant. I wasn't too clued up on the whole invitation thing. And obviously, I don't think they see anything wrong with it. And I don't think there's anything shady about it.
I argue that point, Nadia, because let's look at the Kran ZA tweet. Far too much conflict of interest in the CSGO community. I'm disappointed at the risk these organizations are taking. It's been happening for ages, but I've never seen it as publicly displayed as it's been this year.
Mm.
Now, he tweets that. It's a subtweet, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But you have two members of Goliath Gaming responding. And you know what I say when the shoe fucking fits, right? Like, I don't think they're ignorant to the fact, but they're also sensitive to the fact. Because as you see, like, when you were engaging here, you got, like, it was just like, yo, how can you say that? What is this? What is that? Like, somebody's asking to explain why being biased as a broadcaster is a bad thing. Like, I think it was Deviant. It was like, I find it pretty funny. Like, that's why I'm not being like shitting on anybody. Yeah?
I think they're aware
maybe they don't understand.
I think.
But this is not about Goliath, though. No, on my point I'm
for,
making.
For
it,
me,
because...
I just thought, and in engaging with that, I, as somebody who's not involved in that scene, like I said, I fully support Goliath Gaming. I was cheering for them in the Overwatch World Cup. I was also cheering for ATK. But I mean, I was like really happy watching them play, and I was like impressed by how they were playing. And you want to support these people, but then it also feels weird if you're getting attacked for just trying to even talk about this in like a really like calm kind of way. Like, for me, it's just, I can see why this is happening. I can see why other teams and other players might look at this suspect. And you obviously seeing these tweets are also getting this idea that people are talking about a connection in your organization. And then when that's brought up, it's like, why are you saying this is us?
but they're the ones who assumed because they commented on the thread. That's what's funny. But I think... We're a bit long-winded you on the broadcast side of it. Mm-hmm. But I think the onus of where I see the biggest mistake come from is from the TO. Because I think if you look at, and I was saying earlier that if Gauls and Talani are casting games of their own teams, like in a perfect case scenario, they can do a good job and they still get criticized. But I think if you go look back at WESG, Metal State hired them there to work there as well. Mm. Now, they hired two casters. There was only four teams at the event. Two of the four teams were owned by two of the casters. Now, you're making a decision to hire people who have known biases in the... in
not
the event.
Connections, and not then
you
get biases, but
yeah,
you know,
it's not even biases, it's literal
interest,
conflict of interest.
An interest.
Exactly.
That's just...
And if anybody wants to try to pretend that didn't affect anything at all, go and watch the WESG stream of the last day when Goliath were getting fucked by energy and they were losing the thing. Gauls was literally cheering up in the game, and how can you blame the guy? He's he's been a part of this team for so long.
He has
a connection, right? He could be thinking about maybe there's a trip to China, getting promised, look at the publicity for my brand. I don't think that was going through his mind, but this is things are actually at play. There's the conflict of interest, right? So Metal State then decide there that they're going to hire these two guys to work an event where there's four teams, and two of those teams are Big Five and Goliath. And Big Five and Goliath, they're not some slouch teams. These are the top...
No, I mean, they are top teams.
They're going to be playing a lot of games, right? Exactly. They're going to be playing a lot of games. So these are the... You know that these are the games that Gauls and Talani are going to be casting. If it's a case of... And I said this in the VS Casters Discord group, that if it comes to Masters main stage and Gauls and Talani are casting the Big Five or Goliath games, it'd be a massive mistake by VS Gaming. Nobody really had to look at my point and people just got upset there. But the point is, if there's a big tournament going on, there's XD and Energy playing, Let Garza and Talani cast that game. If you're in a big tournament, hire them for talent for the event for sure. They can work panel because they have great knowledge of the game. They can cast other people's games because they've been casting and they're really popular. But then if you're hiring them and then you knowingly put them in games where they have this conflict of interest, that's not their fault because they just hired to work the event. That's the TO's fault. You deciding that this is how it must be. You are part of the conflict of interest. And again, you Metal State now, you're having an event where you have teams being invited. You invite these teams because they're the best teams. Then you also have the people who own these teams casting the event. It's like, you know, I don't think anything shady is going on, again, but it looks very bad. And again, conflict of interest is not a small thing, I don't think.
On a smaller scale, this is fine. But once you start being professional, you do want that separation between, and you, just the integrity of it all should be untouched. And that's going to be from how it is casted, who's competing, who is playing, and how the players act. All of that, the integrity should be there. And there shouldn't be that, you know, Quissy from over there can then be in the game chat. Oh, yeah, this guy is prejudiced against this, this, and that. And as these things go on, that will always exist. But, nyak an. No one wants to live.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Again, why I think it's just ridiculous. If you look at the professional scene, right? You had a guy, his name was KBBQ in Dota, a very recent example, right? He was comes from the Chinese scene. He has great connections within the community and stuff. And they used to bring him on English panels because he just had such great insight into the Chinese Dota scene. So almost every panel he was working for quite a while, he was like one of the go-to talent you go to. Then last year, he decided he wants to own a team or be part of a big, I think he was an owner or a manager of a team, Team VGJ. And then once he got that job, he stopped working events, right? Even the greatest broadcaster in all of fucking, I think, esports, Monte Cristo, when he owned a League of Legends team, he wasn't casting in the same league his team was playing in. And if he was, he wouldn't be casting his own team's game because he's not giving, there's no integrity in that broadcast. There's literally financial ties there. There's so much going into it that you're not getting an unbiased broadcast. It's not about unbiased in this case. It's about just integrity of what's happening. Even if nothing wrong's happening in this thing that's going on, it's still the wrong thing in principle to happen.
My biggest issue,
so it's not a personal slight to anybody, right?
That because you can't bring this up and you can't mention it without being attacked.
Yeah, but I mean, that's people just being bitches on Twitter, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that's like part of the story.
I feel like it just, that's just the worth of it. That you can't even discuss it. It's not up for discussion. This is it. This is how it is, and this is how it will continue to be.
Yeah. That is kind of part of it. And the thing is that, like, I know I've had conversations with Anthrax in the past about like bias and shit when commentating. It's not like I feel like, again, on the broadcast side of things, from the TO side of it, I don't think the TO should be making a mistake like that. I think it's the conflict of interest comes from the TO. TOs are deciding who gets hired. TOs are deciding who gets invited. If you're choosing to take matchup here that's going to raise alarm bells and then you're going to get flak for it, I think that's 100% self-inflicted. And I think it is an issue. I think it's just a poor decision. I think, again, if you're doing Masters, you have this big event, you have a whole panel, you have multiple broadcast teams, Garza and Talani musts, right? You have them there. You have them doing games that they don't cry after the fucking team loses. Like, that's ridiculous. Imagine my first CSGO game I ever watched or event I attended was Rush 2017, the fucking fake qualifier of Arena where Energy beat Bravada for the first time. Wham and Haze were casting that there. And it was like, it was so hype that event when Energy actually beat them for the first time ever. Kani lost to Bravada for 9 years straight and he won. And just hearing fucking these commentators go crazy and the crowd go wild and cheering, it was amazing. Now imagine my first CSGO experience was at Rush this year where Goliath Gaming lost to Energy, who qualified for their second international tournament of the year, and one of the commentators is crying and is like, yeah, it was a good performance by Energy. It's like I feel like I'm cheated of a broadcast there almost.
Yeah, that is one of the problems, is that like you do lose the hype when the team that the commentator doesn't want to win wins, because he's just not going to be it. Like, it'll happen to every caster. I mean, there's the famous case, like if you go and listen to Anders, probably the certainly the most well-known caster in CSGO, like he used to work for NIP TV, and when NIP was beaten in the one final by a French team in late 2014, like, he sounded significantly more subdued than when NIP won in the major before that.
So, which is an issue, I think.
Yeah, it is an issue. Like, it is an issue. And to this day, people will point out that, like, whenever, like, they'll still point out that, like, Anders did that. And he's worked hard at it. He'll sound mega hype, but, like, you're never going to remove bias entirely from
for sure
any casting or any opinion, because it's your opinion. But it you need to reduce the appearance of it as best as possible. And that, like you say, that is on the TOs at this point.
Yeah, because that's exactly the situation. You can't remove the bias. You can't tell the likes of a Goals not to care about Goliath Gaming, because this is his fucking organization. He played in the team. These are like his families, his brothers. This is his teammates. You can't say he mustn't be biased, because he does care about it. That's not a fake thing. That's genuine. He was upset. He was sad. But if you're choosing to put him in a situation where he's designed to fail, if you put Monte Cristo in the same situation, casting his own team, then that's your fucking fault. You fucked up there from the TO's perspective, in my opinion.
But isn't it also, like, how many CS casters on that level do we actually have? Like, I can count 7.
Probably 4. It's probably 4. It's like Wham, Extremes, Golds, and Lighters at this stage, probably.
Right, by Wham, you meant Haze, right?
Sorry, Haze, apologies. Haze and Extremes.
I was wondering for a second there.
I do apologize to Haze there, but yeah, it's Haze, Extremes, Lighters, and Goals. But look, that is the problem. It's like, and I understand budgets do come into it, but like, it does just, like, it's going to create a bad impression if Goliath doesn't win and there is another incident where the cast is, you know, are significantly more subdued when there's an upset.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, we're also saying this like people actually watch CS. Ah. I don't know.
I like how you were so conservative on, like, critiquing people's Overwatch, being like calling out bias, and then you're like, yeah, but CSGO shit and nobody cares. That's your case, saying, you know?
I feel I can say it because I don't think I'm hurting anyone's feelings. The people that love it will still watch it, and the people that don't care.
That's the whole part of the issue here, is that why are people's feelings getting hurt? We're calling out something that's a factual issue, right? We're not even calling out the people or the anything. It's just calling out a decision that's being made that's
weird in the circumstances.
Right. Well, that has a clear conflict of interest, if you want to just call it what it fucking is. But yeah, that's it. That's a fucking South African esports for you. Let me tell you, conflict of interest is not just about who's, like Goals is casting his own game. I think it ranges from a lot of things. Like, certain things, like where you have talent hiring other talent. Like, that is a conflict of interest. You can't have the guy who's doing the job hiring you to take his job. Like, that's fucked up. Imagine I'm casting Masters and I'm deciding who's going to cast the finals. Like,
I'm looking
say me,
forward
obviously.
To joining you, Camille. You know, I've got a very real interest in is it Dota, and I think I can give some really good insights.
Great, dude. Great.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure. You're welcome.
We just flame the people the whole game with just your wild insights that we never hear on the podcast, like, because they're just too spicy. It'll be the greatest Dota broadcast ever.
I can't tell, like, left from right, so it'll be definitely interesting when I'm, like, talking about the lanes.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
all right.
Definitely.
We are on.
Super keen. DS, please phone me.
That is hilarious. All right, so, Prophecy, any last thoughts on the issue, or shall we close up the show?
No, I think you guys have said enough.
All right, so, hitting it to the bottom of the show, and we still have Extreme's name here. They haven't changed it to Wide just yet. Feels bad. So, catch us on Twitter, of course, at KamoChickDay, or KChickDay, I forgot my own tag, G_KAYYSTGutterLily, and Prophecy Gaming, with the CI instead of the normal spelling of Prophecy. And of course, if you want to catch more content like this podcast, sick articles, that sort of thing, head over to Facebook at Esports Central, ZA, Twitter, Esports CENTRL, and of course, on our website, esportscentral.co.za. Catch us for the next episode next week. I never remember the date. I never will remember the date. It will be episode number 57, boys. Enjoy the rest of TI. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is.